Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for stopping by the podcast. Today's episode is all about a quote that I shared in my book, The Ladder of Influence. And the quote is, "That which consumes you controls you." That which consumes you controls you. So I wanted to drill down just a little bit on that concept, because living life on autopilot does not serve us. But a lot of times we are living life by default or on autopilot, and particularly in the instance of that which consumes us controls us. And what I mean by that, first and foremost, what I mean, anytime we find ourselves consumed by something, and that means we're thinking about it nonstop, it's in your thoughts all the time, it's something that you look forward, not just look forward to or think about, but almost obsessively, almost obsessing over. And when that, whatever it is, reaches an unhealthy level, it is controlling you at some level. And this could play out in so many different ways. I have seen so many examples of this that are minor, probably. An example of this would be your favorite TV show. And you love this particular TV show, but you find yourself not just planning when you're going to watch the next episode that comes out, but obsessing over when the next episode is going to come out and not scheduling anything else in your life on that day because this is the next episode is coming out and everything else on your calendar must be cleared so that you can watch this episode of your TV show when it comes out. Now, that's almost a laughable example, but it absolutely happens. And I've seen examples of it where that one particular person is consumed by their level of attachment to this TV show. And so therefore it controls their social life. It controls their emotional life, right? They're thinking about that. They're looking forward to it. And there's nothing wrong with looking forward to something. I'm saying when it gets to the point of an unhealthy level of attachment, it's consuming you. It's therefore controlling you. So that's one little example, but we could apply that same concept to so many other things in life. So other examples of things that consume us and control us. I have seen people reach an unhealthy level of attachment, obsessing over a wrong that was done to them in the past, and to the point of bitterness, right? To the point of hatred towards a particular person, a lack of forgiveness. And that, you know, yeah, it's absolutely hard and difficult to forgive someone who has injured us or wronged us, right? But when we're unable to release that and we obsess about that, it consumes us. We're planning our revenge or we're constantly thinking about that. It's almost like a sore tooth. You almost cannot help but continue to prod it with your tongue, right? Even though it hurts when you do, it's just, you cannot help that. You're just obsessively going back to it again and again and again in an unhealthy way. And when you're obsessing over that, when it's controlling you because it's consuming you. So I've seen examples of that with health habits. I mean, I've certainly seen people who could get to an obsession with something like exercise in an unhealthy way. And if it's consuming you, if it's consuming every dimension of your life, it's controlling you. And I don't mean that you shouldn't be intentional. What I do mean is that you should be intentional, because sometimes we get caught up in one particular thing that starts to consume us, and then it controls us to the point that it's dictating everything in our life. And that's unhealthy. When anything, any one thing is dictating everything in your life in an unhealthy way, then it's something you need to be intentional about, to reflect on and step back and go, what is it about this thing that I'm not able to let it go, or that I'm letting it affect everything else in my life in an unhealthy way? Now, I, and again, I'm stressing this in unhealthy ways, things that consume us and control us in unhealthy ways, level of attachment. And you know, almost anything can be toxic for us personally if it's taken to an extreme. You could, you know, moderation is key in so many of our areas of our life, right? Exercise is a good thing, but if you exercise 12 hours a day every day, that's probably an unhealthy level of exercise. Now, maybe not, right? If your professional career is in the physical exercise realm, then maybe that's, you know, if you're a professional athlete and you are training, and not just training, but recovering and working on all of the things that go into being a professional athlete, then maybe that's at a healthy level for you. But for most of us, if we're exercising 12 hours a day, every day, that's an unhealthy level of exercise. And so we're consumed by that, therefore we're controlled by that. So again, you can apply this concept in a relationship. Maybe it's an attachment with an unhealthy relationship that is consuming you to the point that it's interfering with your other relationships. That I have seen that time and time again. And, you know, sure, it's natural to go through different seasons of life with different relationships. But again, I'm saying that I want you to be mindful of anything that is consuming you, that you're obsessing over, that you're thinking about constantly, you're unable to put it at a healthy level or a healthy mindset relative to that, is controlling you. And think about being intentional about those things. So another, maybe this is a minor example, but for me, something I had to be conscious of is I'm a list person. I'm a task-oriented person, and that's not a bad thing. But I find that when I map out my day and I tend to say, okay, I need to get this done, I need to have these priorities done, that's a good thing, and that serves me well. But there are times when I put something on the to-do list and then something else of a higher priority comes up and I need to shift the to-do list, meaning something on the to-do list might not get to done. Is that a word? Might not get done. To-do list doesn't get to done list. And if I let that, you know, once I set out the list, I need to be flexible and say, oh, there are times when that list doesn't get all finished by the end of the day. And that is okay. Right. So, but it's something I had to work on, is when I put it on the list, it absolutely must get done, right? And I have to make sure that I'm intentional about not letting that get to be the point where it interferes with other priorities in life. So for an example, you know, I generally have X amount of things that I want to get done that goes on my little to-do list. But just one day last week, there was a couple of things. Oh, it was vacuuming out my car, which, it, you know, that's not a big thing in the grand scheme of life, but it kind of needed to get done. Like, the car needed to be cleaned. And that was on my list for a particular day, but it just didn't happen. I had a couple of other priorities come up and that were great. They were great things. They were great opportunities, some unplanned opportunities. And so vacuuming out the car didn't happen. And that's okay. Now, there are times in life when I can look back where that would not have been okay with me. And I've been like, it's 8 o'clock at night and I'm out vacuuming out the car because it was on the list and it's going to get done, right? So you see my point here, being able to shift that. And so absolutely, it's okay for me to have priorities. That's a great thing. I love to plan and get things done. But I need to make sure that that is not all consuming that the to-do list is not all-consuming in my life, because if it does, then it's controlling my life and that's overriding my values, right? So for me, just being intentional about it's okay to plan, but also there are times when I need to just let go of that, release that, and say, just because I put it on the list doesn't mean it's the highest and best use of my time and energy in the moment, because things have shifted based on other higher priorities and values. And so for me, that's a healthy level of interaction with a list. So making sure that I am conscious of that. Now, maybe you're not a list person. Maybe you don't struggle with making sure all of the things on the list get done, even to the sacrifice of something more important. But again, this can play out in so many different aspects of our life. So, you know, just a reflection exercise to think about, is there an area of life that is starting to consume more of your thoughts, time, and energy than best serves you? Because if that is the case, then perhaps it's controlling you. And a lot of times where I see this playing out in our lives is things that should go in our circle of concern. If you're familiar with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey talks about in that book the circle of concern and the circle of influence. And literally, if you draw a big circle and you write down all of the things that you're concerned about, this could be things like the weather tomorrow. It could be who's going to be the new CEO at your workplace. It could be who's going to be president of the United States, right? All of these things that you can be concerned about, but you don't have control, direct control over. So the other circle is the circle of influence. And that is where Covey recommends we focus our time and energy. So for example, you might be concerned about the weather tomorrow, but circle of influence, you can pack an umbrella. So you might be concerned about who's going to be the CEO of your workplace and how that's going to affect you. But circle of influence is, I can develop myself so that if there is a CEO that I don't like as the owner or leader of my company, I can change companies, right? So you see how a lot of times we can spend our time and energy worried about things that we're concerned about, but what serves us is to focus on what we can influence, right? Spending our time and energy in the circle of influence. So, and that's a great example from Stephen Covey, a great personal leadership lesson. So my point here is that a lot of times I find people in general are consumed and controlled by things that are in their circle of concern, meaning they're concerned about it, but they can't do anything about it. And ironically, we let those things consume us and control us. And so with a coaching client, I'll actually just have them draw out the circle of concern and then the circle of influence. And Covey goes on to say, when we focus our time and energy in the circle of influence, that circle expands beyond our circle of concern. But if we focus all of our time and energy on the circle of concern, our circle of influence will get smaller over time. So again, if there's something that's weighing you down, that's consuming you, controlling you, I challenge you to just look at, is it in your circle of concern or your circle of influence? And most of the time, 99 times out of 100, you'll find that the things that are consuming us are in our circle of concern. And we absolutely have the power to release that, draw our time and energy and focus into our circle of influence. And when we do, we find that that circle will expand. And so that's something you have to first be aware of, to be intentional about. So just a reflection, as you think back the last few weeks or the last few months or the last few years, is there an area or space that has been all consuming in your life that you need to you need to draw back from and focus more on what you can control and influence instead of worrying about or being consumed about or controlled by the things that you cannot influence. Until next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.